Bar Yudei Torah Moshe Dalet Shvat Toshin Pei of Rebbe Ephraim Brachfeld.
Shachan calls up the father with a suggestion for his daughter. After some inquiries, the father has the brilliant idea of calling up the public phone of the yeshiva and asks the boy who picks up the phone some more information about this boy. Let's call him Chaim. He calls up the yeshiva. After a few seconds, someone picks up the phone. And he asked, "Do you know Chaim so-and-so?" And the boy says, "I happen to know him very, very well. How can I help you? Can I ask you some information about this boy? Please do." And he starts with a list of questions. How is this boy learning? And he says, "Learning, he's amazing. He learns very seriously, basmude. He's always sitting with medrash. He understands his learning. How about his middos?" And again, excellent information. A giving boy, a kind, refined boy. And he went on and on to praise this boy. And as you can all guess, it was Chaim himself speaking on the phone. But then came the last question, which was a bit more difficult to answer. How is Chaim davening? Is he always up on time? Does he daven in the yeshiva? And Chaim was struggling with getting up on time. The answers he gave till now happened to be correct. He was a very good boy. But this was something he was struggling with. And he had the following brilliant idea. He said, "I'll tell you the truth. I myself am struggling with getting up on time. I don't always daven in yeshiva. But one thing I can tell you. Whenever I'm in yeshiva, whenever I daven there, Chaim is also there. Whenever I'm there, Chaim is there." The father was very excited. And a few weeks later, they got engaged. But Chaim was disturbed about the information he gave, or misinformation he gave to his future father-in-law. He deceived him, and he gave him an answer which sounded like he's very serious about his tefillah, and it wasn't the case. This is what we call gnevas das. Give you another few examples. A person sees a house for sale, and he wants to offer... He wants to give in a bid, which is much lower than the asking price. So he has a good idea. He'll ask his friends. They should all submit a bid which is much, much lower. And he will give a bid which is a bit higher. And by doing so, perhaps the seller will feel that he's asking a too high price. And perhaps he will agree giving it away for less. Again, a case of gnevas das, where he tried to deceive the owner, making him believe that his house is worth less than what it truly is. Another example, a person buys a present for his friend, a very exquisite pen from a very expensive brand. His friend is very surprised to receive such an expensive pen, but he wasn't aware there was a cheap copy, and by doing so, again, he deceived his friend. All cases of gnevas das. Bearing this in mind, we find two incidents in these week's parshas which don't seem to fit fully. Firstly, when Rebbe Yishem sends Moshe Rabbeinu to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, he asks Paroi, "Please, can Klal Yisrael leave for 3 days? Not more than 3 days." Was the intention only to take them out for 3 days? It was meant they worked hard enough for 210 years, and it was time for them to leave Mitzrayim. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu supposed to deceive Paroi and tell him and ask him for the Eden to go out for 3 days? You might say Paroi wouldn't agree. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his ways to make Paroi agree. A second incident is in this week's parsha. Daber nu beozne yom veishalu ish meisraeyu veishom meisrauso klei kesev klei zov. Before going out of Mitzrayim, they were meant to borrow vessels of gold and silver, and it was a borrowing without any intention to give it back, which is not really called borrowing. However, they should approach their neighbor and ask, can I please borrow these vessels, and then never give them back. Why borrowing? Why not asking for a present or payment for the hard labor? And if they wouldn't agree, we'll make them agree. How come that we see twice that Rabbeinu Shem asked Moshe Rabbeinu to deceive the Mitzrim? The Shem Yishmuel and partially the Malbim explain the first part, that the plan was to take out Klal Yisrael only for 3 days, not more than 3 days. Klal Yisrael were in a very low spiritual level, Memtes Shari Timet, and they couldn't stay any longer, even though it wasn't time yet to go out of Mitzrayim. So the idea was, let's take them out for 3 days. They should fill themselves up, recharge, and have 3 days, 72 hours of Dveikus to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, to strengthen their emine, their faith, Avodas HaKorbanos, Tefillah, perhaps also Torah. And after 3 days, they might have the strength to go back to Mitzrayim, stay there for another 190 years, and then be able to go out of Mitzrayim, and there would be no need for any more exiles. However, this plan changed when Pari decided to chase them out, and he told them, don't ever come back. And therefore, this wasn't an option anymore, and therefore, they went out of Mitzrayim, and the rest of the story we know. And the same is for borrowing the Kesev and Klei Zov. The Malbim explains that in the beginning it was really meant to be borrowed, but afterwards when they left Mitzrayim and the Mitzrim themselves chased them out, it's as if the Mitzrim would have said, you don't need to give it back to me. And therefore it wasn't really stealing, but still it was deceiving because the intention wasn't to borrow these vests. So we might understand the first part, why the 3 days was really meant, but the second part of borrowing still needs more explanation. Why couldn't the same thing happen? The Rebbeinu Shel Olam is Yodea Asidus, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam knows what would happen. Why couldn't he instruct Moshe Rabbeinu to ask for a present, to ask the neighbors for a present? I would like to share with you two approaches. The first one is from the Maharsham in the Sefer Treles Mordechai on this week's Sedra. And he says the following. Why were the Yidden in Gulis? Why were the suffering? A question Moshe Rabbeinu asks himself. The Torah tells us the story. Moshe Rabbeinu comes out from his palace and he sees a Ish Mitzri is hitting a Ish Ivri. Vayifen koi v'choi v'yar ki ein Ish, and he kills this Mitzri. He's sure no one except of the Yid saw what happened. But the next day, when he went out again, and he saw two Yidden fighting, and he says, Rushe, why are you hitting or intending to hit your friend? And the answer he gets is, why are you mixing in? Halurgeini atzu, do you want to kill me the way how you killed yesterday this Mitzri? And then Moshe Rabbeinu says 3 words. Uchein noida haduvo, which simply means, now what I thought is a secret is common knowledge. And if he knows it, sooner or later Pari will know it. And if Pari knows it, I'm in danger. But Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu was referring to something else. He couldn't understand and appreciate why is Klal Yisrael suffering? Why are they slaves for so many years in Mitzrayim? And when he saw that they speak Lashon Hara, when he saw that it's difficult to keep a secret, then he understood that this must be the reason why they're suffering. And the Chofetz Chaim explains, even though next week's parsha, when Klal Yisrael arrives at the Yam Suf, and the Sarei Shel Yom said, do you want me to split for Klal Yisrael and not for the Mitzrayim? Halulu oivda avoydezure vehalulu. I can't see the difference. They are both serving idols. Why should I split the sea for Klal Yisrael and not for the Mitzrayim? And we explained before, Klal Yisrael were in a very low spiritual level. And therefore, there must have been lots of things which Klal Yisrael did wrong. And therefore, what was Moshe Rabbeinu's question? Why is Klal Yisrael suffering? The Yam can't see the difference, and you, Moshe Rabbeinu, you could see the difference. Says the Chofetz Chaim, when a person or when a nation sins, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could choose Kavyuchu to look away, to ignore these sins. But when one speaks Lashon Hara, when one spreads secrets which one is not supposed to, then one is Me'oire the Midas HaDin Chas V'Shulim, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at this world with the Midah of Din. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu said, for the sins they wouldn't have suffered so much. But now I see that speaking Lashon Hara as well, now it seems to make sense. So the reason why the Eden were in Gulis was because of Uchein, Noida, Haduvol, because of the Lashon Hara. How are they supposed to go out of Gulis? Says the Maharsham, they have to rectify this sin before they go out of Mitzrayim. So this was the plan. Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to gather 600,000 people. And he starts off with, I have a secret to tell you. The secret is, you'll all approach your neighbor, and you'll ask them, can I borrow some clay kesef and clay zov? But between me and you, you won't give it back to them. We'll go out of Mitzrayim, and you keep all of this with you. It would have been enough for one person out of the 600,000 people who would feel it's morally incorrect. We have to speak to the authorities, to the police, and inform them about what is happening, or speaking to their neighbors, and then the whole plan would have not succeeded. So we have 600,000 people, an entire nation, and not one person is spreading the secret. No one is speaking to Paroi, no one is informing anyone, no one is speaking to their neighbors. And by doing so, they showed the strength of being able to keep a secret, to be able not to spread something which might cause damage, which is Lashon Hara. And therefore, they were zoiche to go out of Mitzrayim by rectifying the Uchein Noida Haduvol. What the Baruch Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, they should forcefully take out the money, they wouldn't have a chance to rectify this Uchein Noida Haduvol. But this was an amazing way how to test them and see if they rectify the Uchein Noida Haduvol. Says the Maharsham, the famous Chazal, when the Baruch Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, please ask Klal Yisrael to borrow Klei Kesef Klei Zov, Shlo Yoimar Oisai Tzadik, which refers to Avraham Avinu, the first part of the promise that Yidden would suffer, you fulfilled. And the second part of the promise you will not fulfill. And therefore, I want to make sure that I fulfill my promise. And all the Mefarshim ask the same question. If not for Avraham Avinu, the Kodesh Baruch Hu wouldn't have fulfilled this promise. Says the Masham, of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have taken out Klal Yisrael without giving them a chance to rectify the Uchein Noida Haduvol. There's no other way. They have to be taken out of Mitzrayim, and he would have just pulled them out of Mitzrayim. But Avraham Avinu wouldn't be happy. He wanted to see how his children live peacefully one with each other, how they have the strength of not spreading a secret which might cause damage, and by doing so, going out of Mitzrayim in their own merit. Therefore he says, ve'avdu ve'inu oisom kiem buhem, because of their wrongdoings, they were suffering. Ve'achir chen yetzi b'chishgudoi lo kiem buhem, going out would not be in their own merit, and therefore this was the plan. A second explanation, I saw from the Beis Yisrael, and partially from Rabbi Avraham Shor, they say the following. Klal Yisrael were a nation of slaves. They got up early in the morning and they were fed some lechem oini. Zucharnu es haduga shenoichal b'mitzrayim chinom es avatichim es hakishuim. They were fed food, they worked hard, they were fully dependent on their master. And then came the time for Klal Yisrael to become a free nation. Me'avdis lecheiris. But doing so is very challenging. And if we look back in history, we see that the change of slavery, of avdis lecheiris, wasn't always without any difficulties and very often proved to be not successful. And therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to prepare Klal Yisrael. This preparation started many months before, when the Bnei Hashem started to punish the Mitzrim. The Makkos weren't there to punish the Mitzrim. They were there to show Klal Yisrael that there is a Bnei Hashem in the world. And each Makkah was another lesson in Hashguche Putis, in Emine, in Bituchen, like the Midrash Chazal discussed Bariches at great length. And therefore, slowly but surely, they showed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Klal Yisrael that there is a Rebbo Yisraelim in the world. Everything happens by Hashguche Putis. The greatest difference between a slave and a free person is that the free person becomes independent. And when he becomes independent, there's a danger of him feeling, Koichi ve'oitzem yudi usoli esachai laze. It's all my talents, it's all what I achieved, and now I start to own different possessions, where before, kol mashe kuno evet, kuno rabbi. And therefore, says Bavurim Shaul, the idea was the following. If we look in the Psukim, the Torah says, Dabernu be'ozne yom v'ish'alu ish me'ezre'eyu v'ishu me'ezre'usa klekezu klezov v'yitein Hashem escheinu om v'eine mitzayim. Which simply means, the day before the Mitzi wanted to kill the Yid, the day before he was so angry, and not only was angry, he was disgusted by Yid, v'yikutsu b'nei Yisrael. And suddenly, the Yid knocks on the door, the Mitzi opens with a smile, and says, how can I help you? And he asks for the Klei Kesef, Klei Zov, and willingly, there's Nesiyah Schein, he says, no problem, with greatest pleasure, I'll give you this Klei Kesef, Klei Zov. How does this change from one day to the second? There's no greater miracle than that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach Klal Yisrael that when you start earning your own money, it's all because Hashguche Putis and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to be so. And when this Mitzri would be the last person who would give you his golden vessels, and suddenly he gives it to you with a great smile, you understand it's all Hashguche Putis. Therefore, he explains, when we look back in Parsha Shmois, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu mitoy chasne, he tells him, go to Klal Yisrael and tell them that now is the time you'll be taken out of Mitzrayim. But then he adds, Leich v'safu ziknei Yisrael. V'shulachti es yudi v'keisi es Mitzrayim v'chon nifloisai asher ese v'kir bo yachaychei nishalach eschem v'nusati eschenu om azeh b'eine Mitzrayim v'ayur kise leichun lo yiseilchu reikom v'shuala isho mishchento v'chun. And he asks, it's quite surprising that at this moment, this small detail of borrowing some money was so important to tell Klal Yisrael. It's a detail which will happen in the end. But the first encounter with Moshe Rabbeinu, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, don't forget to tell them that when they go out, they'll go out with the Rechush Gudol. Says Rav Avraham Shaul, yeah. Because Rechush Gudol wasn't just the money. It was a lesson for life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the reason why you'll go out of Mitzrayim, because I want to make you as a nation who understands that Rebbo Yisrael created the world, and Rebbo Yisrael is running the world, and you'll have a life demonstration before going out of Mitzrayim when you borrow your Klei Kesef and Klei Zov. Sorry? Right? Right? So why borrowing? Why could the same thing not happen with just asking them a favor? Please go to your neighbor and tell him, give me the money, pay me back, I worked hard. And yesterday he was trying to kill him and now he's smiling to him. Would be exactly the same as. Says the Beis Yisrael, what's the difference between borrowing and owning? Imagine a person, he bought a brand new car, very expensive car, drives the first day out of the garage with this car. He feels a certain pride. He feels happy with the car he owns. His neighbor drives out with exactly the same car. But this car is either rented or borrowed. He won't feel the same pride. Why not? They're both driving a car. They're both allowed to use this car. The first person will feel the pride and the second won't. Because the first person owns the car and the second borrowed the car. When a person owns something or thinks he owns something, he can feel a certain pride and is more prone to feel, Koichi ve'oitzim yudi usuli zachai laze. But when a person borrows it, he knows it's not his. Says the Beis Yisrael, the Baal Shem told them, whatever you will earn from now and further, it's not yours. It's all borrowed. Don't have the feeling that it's yours and that you own it. I saw a few weeks ago, Rabbi Avigdor Miller in this leaflet explains the Ma'amar Chazal when Yaakov Avinu went back for the Pachim Ketanim and he kind of risked his life or put his life in danger by doing so. And the Gemara in Chulin says, Mikan, from here we learn that Tzadikim, Memoinam, their money, Chuviv Aleim, Yoiser Migufon, they put, has more Chavivis than their body, meaning their life, which is very difficult to understand. But Rav Avigdor Miller explains it like that. Imagine a very wealthy person is going out, it's cold outside, the storm, and he walks half an hour to a shop. He arrives at the shop, he knocks at the door, and the shop is closed. He takes out his phone, he calls the owner, and the owner says, what do you want? I forgot a bag of money in your store. Do you mind please to open the shop? He says, no problem, 50 minutes I'll be there. He comes, 50 minutes later, he opens the store, and he assumes this wealthy person probably had a big bag of money in his shop, and he sees a small bag with a few vouchers, perhaps 10, 15, 18 pounds. And he asks the man, can I ask you something? For these few pounds, it's worthwhile for you to walk half an hour in the snow and waiting 50 minutes outside? I thought you earned so much more an hour. And he said, true, but it's not my own money. I'm the gizbe, I'm a gabbet tzedukah, and this is tzedukah money. And for tzedukah money, I have to be very cautious. Every penny counts. And if I lose only 1 pound, it's not my own money. Says Rabbi Avigdor Miller, a tzaddik feels that he's a gabbet tzedukah. Whatever he received, HaKadosh Baruch Hu entrusted him to use all of these things in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore he's no more than a gabbet tzedukah. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Yaakov Avinu these small vessels, it must be for a reason. If it's his own, there's no problem, he leaves it there. But it's not his own, he's only a gabbet tzedukah. And if he's a gabbet tzedukah, he has to go back to get them. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, when you will get this money, and you'll see the chesed of the Ribono Shel Olam, how these people who are so angry, and they are sure the day before that they would kill you when you would come, and now they smile to you, not only that, I want you to borrow the money as well. Remember that whatever you'll earn will only be borrowed money, and not money you own. And therefore, we saw two explanations why it was so important to have here a she'ela to borrow the money. Either, as the Masham says, to rectify the uchei noida aduvo, to give Klal Yisrael opportunity to keep a secret, to not inform the government, authorities, police, neighbors, and by doing so, to be zoiche to go out of Mitzrayim, to go out of the gurus. And a second explanation of the Beis Yisrael, Avraham Shor, it was a lesson for Klal Yisrael. When they'll become a free nation, when they become in touch with money the first time, they should know, they have the right perspective towards it. Coming back to our first story, the story with Chaim. Chaim was the boy who deceived his future father-in-law by giving him information as if he would daven seriously, but he didn't. This boy went to Rav Zilberstein and asked him, what should he do now? Does he have to approach his father-in-law and tell him the truth? And he gave him, I think, quite a brilliant answer. He said, what is Gnevas Das? Gnevas Das means deceiving this person. When a person asks for information, is he interested to know what happened the first 20 years of the life of this person? No. He wants to know, once they'll marry, how the next 100 years would, what would happen the next 100 years. But the only way doing that is by having information about the past, and the past will teach you about the future. But imagine you would tell him, the past was so and so, but I guarantee you the future would be different. If you would have a true guarantee, you wouldn't mind. He wants to know that from now it will be perfect. Therefore, you gave the information as if you get up on time. You're always on time, davening shul with a minyan. If you would do that from today for the next 100 of years, you didn't deceive your father-in-law. the information he gave was correct. The Gnevas Das aspect is only a problem if you deceive him. And he's not interested in what happened the last 20 years. He wants to know what happened the next 100 years. So if you would try and commit from now on to be much more careful, then you would rectify retroactively what you said before, and then it wouldn't be a problem. Thank you. Yeah.